People attack and fight each other to fulfill their own selfish ambitions. Have you noticed that? Strife is our enemy. People attack and fight. They gossip and slander to get what they want. And strife is a deadly tool of the enemy, especially in the home and in the family. Strife has to go. In James chapter 4, verse 1, what causes fights and quarrels or strife among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. You see, the things that causes quarrels, fights, and strife is selfish desire and selfish ambition. Amen. That's what's behind every quarrel, every fight, is somebody trying to get their way, sometimes through dishonest, ungodly means. This says you kill and covet and quarrel and fight to have your own way and still don't get it. And we believe the Word of God is written for a reason. It teaches us how to live life and live godly and be successful. Strife, quarreling, and fighting can lead to murder. When people get so upset with each other so because they can't get their way, sometimes they will plot to actually kill them. Have you seen the movie? Somebody can't get what they want. They can't get that inheritance. So they cut their brake lines, so they go driving off a cliff. And then behind that, see, is selfish ambition, wanting what I want at other people's expense. There's nothing wrong with wanting something. As a matter of fact, it's healthy to want something, but you have to want to do it the right way. You see, it says you kill and covet. Then it says you do not have because you do not ask God. And I have learned that if I really want something or need something, all I need to do is ask God. Amen. God can and will make it happen. I do not have to plot and scheme to get what I want, because what I want really is the will of God. And that's where it really starts, is we must desire the will of God, to hear from God. As the pastor of this church, I try to always never have an opinion and never have my own will. I want to hear and know exactly what God does. Why? Because I'm such a great Christian? No, because I know God's will is what works. God's will is what works, and He can always bless His will. So we ask for His will. We ask for His direction. We ask for the job that He wants us to have. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. You see, fleshly desires and strife hinder marriages and hinder businesses and hinder churches and hinder nations. Strife has no positive benefit. Fussing and fighting and arguing, scheming to get what we want has no positive benefits. It always hurts somebody and winds up hurting us the most. They get involved in it. Always pray, thy will be done. Thy will be done. When we pray out of selfish desires and selfish ambition, even God will not answer. What does it say? How many like the Word of God? When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. So if we do not ask in the will of God, God basically says, I'm not going to do it. And a lot of times we don't ask for God's will because we don't trust God's will to be the best thing for us. I've learned that God's will for me is the best thing. Amen. I used to think that God, has some small little dinky thing for me to do, and so I didn't necessarily want to ask for it. But when I began to ask for His will, very often I found out His will was so big and so exciting, it was scary. It's a lot bigger than anything I thought. It just wasn't what I thought at the time. But God's plan for your life is fantastic. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. But if you'll pray that and believe that and trust God to do it and do what God shows you to do, get the training, get the education you need, can you say amen, make the contacts you need to make and pray the thing through, and God will provide and you won't have to fight with people to get it. You see, that is why we must fast and pray until our desires line up with God's will for our lives. 1 John 5:14 says, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. How plain can you get? If we ask anything according to his will, not according to our selfish desire. James 3:14, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. You see, bitter envy and selfish ambition produces strife. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Pastor, why are you preaching on this? Is there some problem? Not that I know of, but if we line up with the Word of God, we won't have the problem. Can you say amen? And so it says, bitter envy and selfish ambition produces strife. I do know that nearly all marriages end because of selfish ambition and strife. She wants what he wants, and he wants what he wants, and bless God, they're going to get it. If they can't get it, they'll just divorce. That's the devil. That's selfishness. That's self-centeredness. I've had to learn to give in to Dottie a lot. And she's had to learn to tolerate a lot. But we have to make up our mind we want the will of God for our lives more than we want what we want or what we think we want. And another thing, too, I have discovered most of the time the thing I think I really want, when I get it, I didn't really want it after all. I'm trying to give it back. Okay. So a lot of times we're fighting for things we don't even want. We just think we do. Verse 15, such wisdom. And that wisdom is the way you get things done. I mean, you have a lot of knowledge, but you got to have wisdom to get things done. Such wisdom, this way of doing things, arguing and fussing and fighting over things, does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. I mean, like the bluntness of the Bible. Strife is of the devil. All the strife and quarreling and hate and slander going on in America right now is the work of Satan, because he wants to destroy this country. Right. He knows that we can fight each other and hating each other, that we will self-destruct, and the communists can just walk in and take over, and they're getting pretty close to accomplishing their plan. Yeah. Strife has got to go, and the church has got to pray this strife out of here. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, selfish goals, there you find disorder in every evil practice. Where people are fussing and fighting with each other, lots of selfish ambition going on, people trying to rip each other off the ladder so they can go up the ladder. It says, you find disorder in every evil practice. It's what the Bible says. Strife is of the devil, and it produces every evil work. This is why America's in trouble today. Ungodly people are whipping up hate against godly people in the Word of God, whipping up hate against each other between the races, between those who have money and those who do not. So if you believe that God rejects sin and that heaven is not all inclusive, people just automatically hate you because you're a Christian and you believe in doing what's right. Wow, how did we get in this mess? You see, the goal of the secular humanist and Marxist is to create division and strife through lies and deception and propaganda. And we need to be smart enough not to fall for that. Because you're going to destroy all of us. Amen. They know how evil strife is, so they use it to accomplish their evil purposes. This is what they did in Venezuela. They took Venezuela down. And they're doing it right now in Brazil. So they're really trying to take over all of South America, and the communist Marxists always use strife. Right. Yeah. Strife is the favorite tool of the Marxists and communists, and I'm a history major. I've studied it thoroughly. I do know what I'm talking about on that issue. They promote division and strife. James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Look at these secular humanists and Marxists all over America. You can look at them and see they're full of hate and strife and division. They don't have any of these qualities. God's way of doing things, the wisdom that comes down from heaven, God's way of getting things done is first of all pure motive, not trying to accomplish some hidden motive. Peace-loving, considerate, not strifeful and fighting and burning and throwing fits about anything and everything in order to accomplish some secret hidden agenda. No, it's considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, treating everybody of every color and every creed and every code just the same. You don't try to force people to agree with you and fire people who don't agree with you. It's all of the devil. The motives of true Christians must be pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit. So many people are fighting and struggling to have their way and get their way. They don't realize our country is being destroyed. We must all be impartial and sincere. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers. Where's the verse that says, blessed is the troublemaker? We got a lot of troublemakers in America. Where's the Bible say that's of God? It doesn't. It's the peacemakers. Just make up your mind. You want to be a Christian or not? Blessed are the peacemakers. God blesses the peacemakers, not the troublemakers. Titus 3:1, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. I'm just reading the Bible. If it irritates us, maybe we need to make some changes. On our knees in the presence of God. You can't really change yourself, but I know somebody who can change all of us. His name is Jesus. Verse 2, to slander no one. You know, slander is one of those church sins that's kind of okay. But if you commit adultery, we'll throw you out the door. But if you slander somebody, you know, that's okay. Well, it's not okay with God. To slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. This, all men. all men. You see, this is the teaching of Jesus Christ in the Bible. Slander no one, be peaceable, be considerate, strife, slander, selfish ambition, all open the door to all kinds of evil. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a Christian protester. He was a man who believed and promoted Christian values. He was a Christian who did not preach hate. His dream was a day when all men, black and white, would be judged by their character, not by their skin color. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. never asked white people to apologize for being white. He never called for white people to be punished for their whiteness. He did not slander anyone, but was peaceable and considerate. He spoke the truth and demanded justice, but he never preached hate and strife. Amen. You can stand up for what's right without destroying other people. Amen. We must all take a stand for what is right. Where people like it or not. I have to preach what the Word says, where anyone likes it or not. My big concern is that I please Him. If I please Him, He's going to take care of me. If you please Him, He's going to take care of you. Dr. Martin Luther King said, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. We need to fall in love with each other all again, we in the church. And all across America, Americans need to fall in love with each other, all colors, all creeds, and all codes, and stand together as one man against the communists and the secular humanists and those forces that want to destroy us. Stand together as one man, and in the end, we'll all come out with a hit. But the thing goes down. We're all going down with it. Same thing in a church. Strife has to go. It'll take the whole thing down. As far as I know, there's none in this church. We pray in day and night that the power and the peace of God will always be here, and that the peace of God is always prevalent. You walk in His place, you feel the presence, the anointing of the Lord. There's a reason for that, because we pray against demonic spirits of strife and anger and rebellion and depression. Somebody say, glory to God. Glory to God. Dr. Martin Luther King said, I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. We need another Dr. Martin Luther King who demands justice but preaches love and unity. Amen. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
A bigger amen. James 3:5 says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. A little slanderous word can really destroy somebody's life. People can work hard all their lives to build a good reputation, work hard, and somebody with a little light cause them to be totally destroyed. Verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. Something's wrong with that. That's why it's here in the Bible. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. This says, with our tongue we can curse men. That is not God's plan. Strifeful people can use their tongues to destroy innocent people, and we've seen it happen. Satan uses strife to destroy families, homes, children, churches, and nations. Sometimes just a little word can make all the difference in a good way or a negative way. 2 Samuel 15, verse 2. Absalom is, I think, the perfect example of a politician using strife and deception to fulfill his selfish ambition. Absalom was the son of the king, King David. Now, Absalom would rise early. I mean, some people full of selfish ambition, they work really hard. If they work really hard doing it the right way, they would be successful. But they work hard doing it the wrong way. Absalom is working hard to do it the wrong way. He gets up early. Now, Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So it was whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for decision, that Absalom would call to him and say, look, your case is good and right. I agree with you. But there is no deputy of the king to hear you. In other words, my father has not provided justice for you. But if you will elect me king or promote me to king, I'll take care of you. Does that sound like some politicians, you know? It's the same today. I will solve your problem. Just vote for me. And as soon as they get elected, they never do a thing that they promised. But nothing ever changes because they only care about themselves. It's selfish. They have a selfish motive. They want to be king. They want power. Moreover, Absalom would say, I'm just showing you how up to date the Bible is. Well, the Bible's irrelevant. I don't think so. This applies perfectly. Moreover, Absalom would say, oh, that I were made judge. Oh, if I could just be king in the land. And everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me, then I would give him justice. He's plotting against his own daddy to kill his own father so he can be king. See something wrong with that? He is intentionally whipping up strife because of his selfish ambition to be king. Wolves in sheep's clothing often whip up strife in the church to accomplish their selfish goals. Amen. Verse 5, and so it was, whenever anyone came, he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. Yay. Using promises, lies, and deception, and kisses. And his motive is totally evil. I believe if we'll pray and seek God, God can give us a discerning that we'll know what people's motive is. You can discern when somebody comes to church, it's a sheep in wolf's clothing. If you're praying and seeking God, God will show you who they are and you won't get sucked in. Somebody say amen. Verse 6, in this manner, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Beware of ambitious people who tell you how bad things are and then tell you they have all the answers. I've got all the answers. Just come to me. With shameful lies and deception and big promises, Absalom drove his father, King David, into exile and was trying to chase him down and kill him. Well, it didn't last very long because God delivered King David and Absalom was executed. If we'll live right, do right, and be right, God will always deliver us. Can you say amen? I believe that with all of my heart. He'll deliver us from people who want to destroy us. And I believe if God's people, which are called by his name, as the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. It's time we got on our knees and got to praying. Can you say amen? And pray strife out of our lives, out of our families, out of our homes, out of our jobs, out of our careers, and out of Knoxville, and out of Knox County, and out of Tennessee, and out of the United States of America. And the strife will be get driven out all around this world so people can be free to serve God and pray and seek the face of God rather than being overcome by selfish, ambitious people who will enslave other people. You see, James 3:16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, I read that once, there you find disorder in every evil practice or evil work. And that's what you see with Absalom. I mean, he was trying to kill his own daddy, but he wound up being executed himself. What did that gain him? You see, a lot of times the devil motivates us to get strife and get into fight so he can destroy us. Amen. Strife will destroy you. People who have selfish ambition and strife produce disorder in every evil work, just like Absalom did. But we are called to be peacemakers, not troublemakers. Galatians 5:19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. And I'm preaching strong and I'm sounding like I'm perfect, but I'm not perfect. Okay, I need this message too. He said, well, we like it a lot better when you're preaching on faith and deliverance and healing and the miracle power of God. These things will keep you from all of that. These things will keep you from victory if you don't get them out of your life. And you really can't get them out, but the Holy Spirit can. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are... Notice it says deeds of the flesh. This is what your flesh would do if by the power of the living God you don't control your flesh. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, which is hostility, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. Anger is not always bad, but when it's totally uncontrollable and can hurt people, it's bad. Verse 21, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I warn you, just as I have warned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Strife, envy, jealousy, dissensions, and hostility are just as bad in the eyes of God as adultery, sorcery, idolatry, and sensuality. But a lot of us church folks don't see it that way. Okay. He can be mean as a junkyard dog and still go to heaven, but is that really true? Paul says those who continue to do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. All these things are basically the new morality, the flesh. Just whatever you want to do, whatever feels good. These things really pretty much describe the morality. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Just let it all hang out. But you see, the gospel is totally opposite to that. It says we mortify the deeds of the body. It says the old man has been crucified with Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're a new creation, then you need to live like it, walk like it, and look like it. And not allow your, and you can, you still live in the flesh. You can allow yourself to get caught up in the strife and divisions and dissensions and all kind of horrible things. And you need to ask God to help you not to get entangled in anything like that. Even at work, especially at work. All these things is basically the new morality, just to do what feels good, just whatever's right for you. Just let the flesh hang out, do whatever it wants to do. The Bible says it'll send you to hell. Well, I don't believe in hell. Well, you will after you get there. just don't get there. Okay. This is what the secular humanist preaches. The Bible calls these things sin, not freedom. Sin enslaves me. Well, I'm free. I'm doing all these sexual things. No, you're not free. You become a slave to it, and you can't stop it, and you know it. The only way you're going to be able to stop it once you get hooked on it is Jesus Christ. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Here's the exact opposite. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. I'm glad the Bible shows you both sides. I'm a full gospel preacher. I'm not allowed to leave anything out. And if you hate this message, I'll probably have something different next week, so come on back. And I never follow up with people to see if they're doing what I preach. I preach it, and I just go to lunch and get me a cup of coffee and just have a good time. Can you say, glory to God, what you do is your own business. But as a man of God, a preacher, I've got to just read the Bible to you. Yes. Honor one another above yourselves. What does that mean? It means no selfish ambition. You want a position, help somebody else get it, and then God help you get it, or get one just as good or better. Amen. I've tried to live my life that way, and I've always done pretty good. Yes. I grew up in a strifeful situation, and I never have liked it. That's why I just always give in to Dottie and let her do what she wants to do. Of course, you know that's not true. But I've learned where the limits are. Can you say? But I decided a long time ago I'd rather have Dottie than to have my way. Make up your mind. Is what you want more important than your wife, your husband, your kids, your parents? What's important? Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Boy, that's where a lot of marriages get in trouble. She does this, and then he's got to get even and do something worse, and then she's got to do something even more terrible. And next thing you know, they're about to kill each other. Next thing you know, they're divorced. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone as much as it's possible. Verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with your wife or with your husband. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We are commanded to live at peace with everyone and not get caught up and strife and selfish ambition. And Dottie and I agree on this 100%. And so we know where the limits are. We'd rather have each other than to have our way. Amen. Avoid strife at all costs. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. Boy, they did me dirty, and I'm going to do them dirty. The Bible says the best way to get even is let God get even for you. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I'll repay, says the Lord. You see, live godly and leave vengeance to God when possible, be a peacemaker. People attack and fight each other because very often they have an evil purpose. Strife is our enemy. Strife is our enemy. When he gets a hold of us, it'll destroy us. People attack and fight. They gossip and slander to have their own way. Those who have selfish ambitions stir people up into an anger frenzy, often with lies for their own evil purpose. But we are commanded to live at peace with everyone.